All right, we are live from Trinity Presbyterian Church in Burning, Texas. Intro to Trinity, this is week four. Kevin and I did switch if you were following the agenda, and so we are a denomination of the Presbyterian Church of America. And so what we're going to be looking at is a little history, brief history, like I said, and more specifically our values, right? How we give expression to what we believe, what we believe, our theology, and those Reformed distinctives. And so why do we do what we do? Okay, and so if for whatever reason, if you miss a class, it's okay. You probably already know we're recording these, and so you can go back and listen to it. So your wife can go back and listen to it at some point. All right, so as I already said, introduce myself, Reuben Valdez. I'm a ruling elder here. So in Ephesians 4, we find that Christ has given the church gifts for the edifying has given the church edifying gifts of edifying church leaders, right? We see that in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And among those is elders, right? And so I've been an elder since 2019. So in the New Testament, the term episkopos is translated as overseer and bishop, as well as presbyteros, and that's translated as, those are two Greek words, that is translated as elder, okay? And so they're often used interchangeably in the New Testament to describe essentially the same church office, okay, the same position of leadership in the first century church. Those responsibilities, the character requirements and the responsibilities are found in Titus and 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you are already familiar with those. And so it's a big job. And this is where we get our Presbyterian form of worship, right? And so we believe that our church is governed and ruled by its elders, right? Both the teaching and the ruling elders. And so you probably may have heard that already, and if you did, that's good. We also believe that healthy church leadership involves the whole congregation, right? It's the whole church's responsibility to make sure that we are being faithful to the preaching of the gospel. You see that happening in Galatians 1. You also see deacons in action. Deacons model service to the widows, and there are seven that are elected in or selected. You see a picture of that in Acts chapter 6. And then finally, pastors are responsible for the preaching of God's word. And you see this charge that Paul gives to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. And you also, another thing that you see in the New Testament is the plurality of elders. Everywhere that Paul goes and basically starts churches, he leaves elders in charge with oversight, responsibility for oversight and shepherding of that young congregation. And so ruling elders, just as I said earlier, are biblical duties include shepherding of the flock, exercising spiritual oversight, leading by example, governing, and teaching. And the teaching elder, being Alan and Kevin, they have a special labor of teaching, okay, and evangelism. And so again, you see that in 2 Timothy 4 verses 1 through 5, as well as administering the sacraments, being baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so prior to coming to Trinity in 2015, I attended a PCA church in San Antonio for 15 years. It was Oakwood Presbyterian Church. It was pastored by several pastors. And so the last pastor, his name was Reverend John Green. And so we spent a lot of time together learning, growing, serving, very fond memories. But that church eventually closed. And so we were looking for a church. And I said, all right, well, wherever that church is, that's where we're going to move, because we knew that our options for Reformed or even Presbyterian churches were kind of limited. So we were like, we're going to move clear across town, or maybe even as far as New Braunfels. And so we settled on Burney. We came to Trinity, still in a fairly young congregation. And so we just were impressed by, this congregation's expression of love and hospitality towards us. And I feel like that's still true today. If you've not experienced that yourself personally, let me know and we'll fix that, because sometimes we miss people. But we really feel like that's important, we do, as I said, teaching our commitment to, the inerrancy, the authority, the infallibility of Scripture, all of that is super important to who we are and what we do. But if it never leaves here, right, then it just stays there and it doesn't change our hearts and our minds. And so we need the Spirit's help to do this. And so hopefully, like I said, that's been my experience, continues to be my experience, extending love, even forgiveness. I was challenged about that this week. A brother of mine, offended me, and I was like, this is so weird, I shouldn't have been surprised, but it's never a matter of if, but when. And so the cool thing about it was, I didn't react. And then later that day, I get a text, bro. I got the bro text, like, bro, very sorry, I misspoke and this and that. And it kind of brought tears to my eyes because I was thinking, like, I didn't have to say a thing to my brother. It was the Holy Spirit that was, working on his heart and his mind, saying, you probably shouldn't have done that. That was insensitive. So anyway, it was moving. Still a little moving right now when I think about it. Again, it was all Christ. It was all Jesus. So I've got a number of pictures up here. I'll tell you about them briefly. So I've worked for UPS since 1997. So that was 28 years ago. Seriously thinking about making that a career at this point. I feel like things are moving in the right direction. So it may happen. So the first part of my career just was in IT, and then I was able to move into sales in 2006. That was a crisis because I didn't know the first thing about sales, and so I was like, this is either going to work or it's going to fail miserably. And so by the grace of God, I learned some of the things that I need to learn. I'm still learning, but glory to God, I was able to do well there. So I've included several pictures here of my family, my wife Fina and I. Recent empty nesters, we have two, we have three kids. This is my stepson Roger. This is my daughter Zoe, and that's my son Ben. He's going to be 25 this year. Zoe's going to be 24 this year. They're 15 months apart. Roger, if you can read this up here, passed in December the 9th of 2022, and so it was a tragic workplace accident. It's the kind of thing that nobody is prepared for, and it just it happens. And so, by the grace of God, we're in a better place today. We're holding fast to his promises, to the comfort of his plans and purpose for our lives. But I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you that it was really hard. If that wasn't hard enough, my sister-in-law passed on the day after our 25th anniversary, and so my wife and I, celebrated 25 years May the 6th. but in the backdrop of that, her sister was declining from stage 4 colorectal cancer. And so, for the last 2 weeks, we've been kind of entrenched in that situation, again, holding fast to God's promises and trying to be an encouragement to everybody. So she was survived by my niece now, Brooke. And so, just when we thought we were done, we're going to share parenting responsibilities with my mother-in-law, Josie. And so, and what a privilege, And so we told her, there's, kind of a sweet thing that she told us when it happened. She's a strong girl, but she said, does this mean I'm an orphan now? And I said, no, you're not an orphan. Nobody gave you up. You have parents, God just called her home. And so, I have to explain that to her to say, you've got a family that loves you, and you've got a Heavenly Father that it's still there, still loves you, and so we're going to be okay. And so we love because he first loved us. These are my parents. You got to honor your parents, and so I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for them. This is my son again. These are Roger's kids. These are my grandkids. That's Selena, and that's Aiden, and so he had two children before he passed, and so we try to keep moving towards them, make time to connect with their parents, and God's been good. So in spite of all of that, those constant reminders of the fallen nature of our world, we also have sweet and new reminders of God's mercy and grace in our lives each and every day, each and every week. And so when I say that, what we do as Presbyterians, what we do in this church matters, I mean it, because if it wasn't for my family and my friends here, I'd be a mess, And so praise God for his goodness and his mercies that are new every morning, and the grace that he has shown us through, some of that adversity in our own families. And I know you guys have similar stories too, so my purpose this morning isn't to get you down, but just to give you a sense that, you're talking to a real guy that, has spent some time with some difficult things. But I definitely, everything that I do today flows out of that identity that we all have, and that's what I'm encouraged about this morning. Every one of you here this morning, I know that you're here because you have union with Christ, you know, because you believe in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and everything that you are and everything that you want to be is flowing out of that, right? And so that continues to be true of me. Pray that God would continue to help me to do that and be an example, right, to the folks here at our church in that regard. So just a little bit about myself. Any questions about any of these pictures?
How old were you in 1997?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I think I was 19, 20, something like that. Yeah, isn't that funny? Yeah. What's really weird is that I look the same, right? No, I'm kidding. No. My favorite joke to the people in the grocery store, like when they card you or something like that, is like, I know, I lost a lot of weight, and they're looking at me like, bro, I wasn't going to say that.
No, you look like you gained a lot of weight. Yeah.
So, yeah, I forgot to mention my dachshunds. They're gone, but I still leave them up here because, you know, I still remember them fondly. They were part of our family, and they're good guys. I've got lots of pictures on my phone still of my dachshunds. So, all right. We're moving along. So, brief history. So, the Presbyterian Church in America has a strong commitment, as I've already said, to evangelism, missionary work, broad, and to Christian education. We want to make sure that we're being faithful to God's word. And so from its inception, the church determined its purpose to be faithful to the scriptures, true to the Reformed faith, and obedient to the Great Commission. And so when we talk about the Reformed faith, we're talking about those Reformed distinctions that flowed out of the Reformation, 1500s, 1600s, right, being the solas and the formulation that we know as Calvinism. 1973 to 74, there was a big change. Basically a group of church members of the PCUSA, they left the PCUSA and became the National Presbyterian Church. And then a few years later, or a year later, another name changed. We were formalized as a Presbyterian Church in America. So, and then last 2 years ago, we celebrated 50 years. And so throughout the 20th century, various Presbytery denominations have, you know, come up and split in various breakaway groups, and that's how we came about as well. Let's see here.
Could you tell us the main differences between the PCA and the mm-hmm. PCUSA?
Yeah, so I'll share a few things with you related to that. So in 73, we organized as a constitutional assembly. Let's see if this is an answer to your question. The National Presbyterian Church, so it was represented, like I said, it was a group of PCUSA members, 260 congregants, 260 congregations, and 41,000 communicant members left the PCUSA on December of 73 in opposition to the long-developing theological liberalism, okay? And so specifically, they're denying the deity of Christ and the inerrancy and the authority of Scripture, okay? And so that was the crossroad that we came to, and that's still the crossroad that we have, the difference between us and the PCUSA. And it's really the most important, so I'm glad you asked that. That's really the most important thing that you need to know about who we are, you know, our commitment to the scriptures, to, you know, the preeminence of Christ and all of salvation, the inerrancy, the authority of scripture. And so that continues to be very much who we are as a denomination. Something we felt so strongly about that we had to, you know, break relationships. And if you've ever been a part of that, it's really painful.
Just to make a point, Ruben, mm-hmm. In this context, theological liberalism is not the same thing as political liberalism. Mm-hmm. It just refers to a more liberal interpretation of Scripture.
Yeah.
A lot of eisegesis.
Mm-hmm. That's helpful. So again, why we left our commitment to biblical fidelity and our doctrinals, as well as our doctrinal standards, which is the Westminster Confession of Faith, which includes a smaller catechism, a larger catechism, and then our document for church governance, which is our BCR, Book of Church Order. A couple of facts for you. The PCUSA is the largest Presbyterian denomination in the U.S., right, the one we left from. There's over 10,000 congregations, 1.7 million members. However, they've been in steady decline in churches and membership since 1992, and so they've declined at least 37%. The PCUSA, the church that you are now in, is the second largest Presbyterian denomination in the U.S. The PCUSA has approximately 1,800 congregations and 367,000 members. And hopefully, one, two, three, four, five, no, more, right? one of the fastest denominations, growing denominations in the U.S. We've grown tenfold since 1983. Which is kind of cool. And so you look at that, and there is a temptation to say, yeah, you know, we're doing things right. We've got the right business model or whatever, you know, organizational structure. And maybe there's some of that. But if you've been paying attention and if you see the way the church has always grown, it's all of Christ. You know, there's not, you know, your multi-level marketing schemes are, can only go so far, right? So and so when you look at the growth, what's happening here at Trinity, it's Christ. It's His Spirit that's bringing people together, that's uniting very, very different people with a singular focus and purpose, right? And that's to continue the work of Christ and to give Him glory. And so so I'm encouraged about that. And so hopefully when you hear that this morning, it's like, yeah, you know, yay for our team, but also yay for Jesus because He's moving and He's bringing His people together in service in our church. So in this new century, the Presbyterian Church in America continues its commitment, as I said, to those things. So you're in the right place. I'm not just saying that. So unity in the church is also really important. So as you know, I mean, you can, if you've had a chance to talk to folks, I mean, you've got age differences, you know, you've got a lot of folks come together in every group. If you work with people long enough, you know that people are different, right? In a lot of different ways. And those experiences, those formative, those shaping experiences that we have within the church are different, okay? And so, but hopefully the reason that you're here this morning is because you are committed to, you know, Christian orthodoxy and you're interested or in the Reformed teachings, right? That our church is committed to. And so those are what we would consider our core beliefs. And there's, you know, we also recognize there's room for other convictions that you might have. You know, we could talk about different things, like, you know, just to give you some examples, you know, how God decrees things in terms of, you know, in the beginning, you know, like in something, you know, these are really big words, but, you know, infralapsarianism and superlapsarianism, right? Like how God, it's the whole chicken and the egg, right? Theological debate, you know, which came first, you know, God's mercy or the fall, that kind of thing. And so one view kind of highlights God's sovereignty and the other view highlights, you know, mercy and grace. And so you can make a biblical case from both in the same way that you can make biblical cases from, you know, from end time views, right? Eschatology and that kind of thing. So, but those are convictions that you have from scripture that, you know, we can talk about, you know, but we're not going to break unity over that kind of thing, okay? Now, things like, you know, creation ordinances, how God created us as unique creations, like male, female, with, you know, divine, with and really everything with a divine order, and specifically man with a divine role, specific roles, you know, those are things that we can say, well, it's kind of optional, right? Gender is, you know, the way God created us is optional. That doesn't, you'll never hear that here. You know, we're very much committed to the teachings of Scripture, especially as it relates to creation, how God created the world and all things. All right, let's get into some of these values. And so if you've not had a chance to, here's a plug for our website. If you've not had a chance to visit our Trinity website, it's pretty nice. And when I say nice, I mean there's a lot of good information, right? You might not like the pictures, but there's great information there. It'll definitely give you a sense of who we are and what we do. And so under the About link, you're going to find these values, okay? Again, this is the way that we, you know, give expression to who we are as Christ believers. And so we aspire to kingdom living, healthy relationships, and authentic worship. And there's two more that we'll discuss here in a minute, but before we do that, let me give you a taste for some of the scripture that we selected for, to kind of support these views and these priorities. And so the first one is Matthew chapter 5. And so you probably know that this is the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. And so beginning with verse 1, it says, "Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And so, as you can see here, I won't read all of that. We do endeavor to live with humility and courageous commitment to Christ. You're going to see that that characterizes everything that we do. And if it doesn't, you need to bring that to our attention, right? Because maybe we're putting too much emphasis on something that just doesn't matter that much. Okay. Any thoughts about that? Have you guys experienced that here? Hopefully. And there it is. We recognize that we're sinners, and we want to model repentance in our daily life, that we might reflect the priorities of God's kingdom, consistent with being followers of Christ. Healthy relationships also really important in the church in order to maintain the unity that is required for followers of Christ to come together and work together. And you see that in Ephesians 4 regarding unity, 25-32. We believe that our lives should be marked by trust, integrity, and transparency. The end result will be a community of people reconciled to each other and to God. By relating in a healthy manner with each other, the burning community, our surrounding community with God, we give God the glory. And that's what it's all about. And it's all for God's glory. So healthy relationships are important. Any thoughts about that one? Well, I'll also be interested if you want to eliminate any of these. We're going to put you on another list. No, I'm kidding. Joke. That was a bad joke. Authentic worship. And so this is, so the scripture passage there is Isaiah in the presence of God, the holiness of God, being overwhelmed by God's grace and taking away his sin. It really shapes his direction and his trajectory, right? He says, "Send me," when he's asked, when it's asked, you know, who will go. And so in the same way, God's grace shapes our trajectory, right, and our purpose in life, gives us identity. And so our worship is passion, and because of that, our worship is passion, involves fervent participation. We're mindful of God's presence, and that worship is our primary calling. And so all of life is an offering of worship to our worthy God. So you can think of our values as our missional priorities expressed, and these are the things that we want God to accomplish among us. Okay. Christ-centered teaching and preaching. So Romans 1-8 regarding life in the Spirit says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So Christ-centered teaching and preaching is also a value here at Trinity. So we aim, as it says there, in teaching and preaching, to point to the sufficiency of Christ in salvation in all things, as well as sanctification. We desire the practical outworking and application of scriptural truth rather than merely the accumulation of information. We see a difference in knowing God and knowing about God, for sure. Hopefully, again, you've observed some of that here in your time here. You've been encouraged about people living out their faith as we are brought into union with Christ and really communion with one another, not just on Sundays, but every time that we meet. Community outreach is really important for us. You know, we enjoy God's mercy, you know, the teaching, the preaching, prayer, all of those things. That we enjoy that here on a regular basis on Sunday morning. Occasionally we'll have special Wednesday evening, you know, gatherings where there is teaching and food, which is also nice. But that's not all that we want to do. You know, we want to be a church that is sending out churches, right? That is supporting other churches, and we're doing that with Adam Lopez. You know, he's starting a new church work in Northwest San Antonio, Alamo Ranch area. So we're supporting Adam, and so we're glad about that. We look forward to the day that he is on his own, and you know, there's a big thriving church over there proclaiming God's word faithfully in that area. And we're also mobilizing to begin to plant our own church, you know, another church, you know, in the surrounding Hill Country area, maybe Bulverde even is kind of what we're kicking around. But yeah, so we don't want to be a church that's just kind of, you know, playing church on TV. We want to be a church that's living out what we believe, but also propagating, right? We want to duplicate what we're doing and plant more churches that can have the same effect on their communities, to see, you know, the followers of Christ transformed. So community outreach is really important. You see that happening for sure in the early century churches in Acts. We communicate the life transforming truth of the gospel to anyone that'll listen. And because of that, the church looks different, right? Our demographic is going to look different. If you've had a chance, maybe you've noticed this already. It's hard not to notice it in our main sanctuary over there. If you take a right on to the restrooms or towards the children's area, there's a wall there with our missions, kind of a map. It's kind of neat. It kind of shows where we have missionaries, where we have sent missionaries, where we're supporting missionaries all around the world. And so, you know, we don't want to be blind to the needs of the lost abroad. And so we definitely have a focus, you know. So I would say missions is a priority, right, at Trinity. And so you definitely need to know that. And so when I say missions, I mean local mission, right, the mission that we're doing here, but also world missions. And that also includes planting new churches. And so you're gonna hear more about that in the weeks and months to come, and we're excited about it. To be taking that next step, to basically be faithful where God is leading us and where he's growing. Again, it's all of him. So these are things that are really important to us, continue to be important to us. And we want you to, you know, know why we do stuff, because it's important, you know. And from time to time, you might have questions like, hey, so this is just an introduction, right? From time to time, you might see us do something, say something, and it doesn't make any sense, or maybe you just missed it. It's okay to come and look, you know, come to, you know, me, Alan, Kevin, anybody, right? One of the deacons, and say, hey, what's the deal with, you know, what's the deal with that? What's that about? And we'll be glad to tell you. There's not anything that we do on the session that is secret. right? I mean, anybody can, any member of the church can attend one of our elder, you know, meetings, where we're talking about church business, you know, the nuts and the bolts to kind of keep everything going and funded and prioritized. Anyone can sit on one of those meetings. So if you're interested, if you're that interested, maybe you want to do that before you decide. The next meeting's in June, and it's usually on the second Monday of the month. So you're welcome to come and sit in on that. Just let us know. It's in the downstairs, our little conference room. It's a little boring, just FYI. We talk about, you know, budgets and things like that. Important, but can be a little dry from time to time. All right. So as I said earlier, the followers of Christ are called into union with Christ and communion with one another, and you see that happening here, and I've tried to explain to you just a little bit about how we give that expression at Trinity. And so you're going to hear more about, in the weeks to come, about opportunities that you can grow, right, where you can get plugged into a Christian education class. You know, we call it Christian education because that's what it is, right? We're not, you know, there are some jokes and that kind of thing, but the big, you know, the main thing is we want to, you know, share the word of God with God's people so that we might, if you know it, that's great, but we need to remember, right? We need to remember and we need to trust, and that requires teaching, right, and study. And so be looking for opportunities where you can plug in and to continue to grow in your faith. And I would definitely commend our Christian education classes. There's usually two that are happening right now. We're doing the Psalms and maybe Daniel, I think. And so that happens at 9 and 10:30. And so depending on which service you're coming to, you know, you can, or sometimes, I mean, depending on what the topic is, sometimes, you know, we'll change. But we typically go to the 10:30 service, but if they're like, oh, I want to, you know, go to that. I like, that's interesting to me, and so we'll change, you know. So it's okay to do that. You know, I'm just nobody's going to say, hey, whoa, aren't you a 9 o'clock, you know, worship person? We have liberty in that regard as well. Giving and service and service at Trinity, there's lots of opportunities to, again, join with this congregation in the work and worship of Christ. From mowing the grass to, you know, to teaching, if you feel called to do that. Yeah, there's lots of opportunities. If you'd like to hear about that, you know, again, you're welcome to talk to me or anyone else in the session, or a deacon, or Pastor Alan or Kevin. And so one of the advantages of plurality of the elders, and again, you see this happening in the first century churches, you know, Paul leaving elders with an S in charge, is that they, you know, the teachers need that, right? The teachers need to be able to focus on, you know, the teaching, preaching of God's word, you know, Alan and Kevin. And so it's important that you know that you don't necessarily have to go to them for everything, you know. They've got help, right? We want to help. So let us help if we can. If not, then go to Alan. No, I'm kidding. You're like, you're going to need to go to Alan for that one. No. And so we can definitely help. So be looking for those opportunities. There is going to be an interview sign up. It's not really, and so if you've been a part of that before, then you kind of know what it is. And so you would, you know, basically sign up for a date on a calendar. And so you could probably come as early as June to the June session meeting. And so we would start with you there. You would get an opportunity to kind of share your faith, you know, how you came to Christ, why you trust in Christ. And after some, you know, questions for you, and you know, you can ask us questions. You know, we may ask you a few questions. And then we'll set a date, right, where you would go. And on a Sunday morning, if you have some reservations about, I don't like, you know, that, you know, we're not going to give you a hard time about that. You know, we can interview you there, you know, at this session meeting as well. And so if you have some strong reservation, I don't want to go to the front and raise my hand, that's okay. Not everyone does, okay? But there are, you know, there are vows that we're going to ask you to consider and to take, right? And that's, again, to protect the unity of the church, right? The purity of the teaching, but also the unity of the church. So that's what's coming next. Do you guys have any questions about anything that I shared this morning? Uh, are you guys from? Can we do that? I'll start. So I grew up in terms of like your maybe faith pilgrimage. And so I grew up Protestant. My dad was Catholic. It's just interesting to me, right? And so I just want you to know that, I mean, when you get to talking to folks, they're, again, different, right? And it's just a miracle that we're here today, you know, doing, you know, fellowshipping together, learning together, worshiping together. It's just awesome. And so my dad was Catholic. There, you know, I grew up in a Protestant church on the west side of San Antonio, Linda Vista Baptist Church, you know, animal crackers, orange drink, mustaches. It was awesome, right? There was never a day that I didn't know Christ. But I learned as I became an adult, there was a difference between knowing and trusting Christ, because when it came time for me to trust Christ, I wasn't. And so God used that opportunity to show me that those three letters, S-I-N, wasn't just, you know, teaching, it was real, and it was a big problem that I had, and I needed to trust Christ to reconcile that, right, to deal with it. And so I had, you know, that experience as well. And that's when I met my wife, and she was doing something called Reformed, you know, Presbyterian thing, and I was like, I don't know what that was. I was used to kind of non-denominational, charismatic even, and Baptist churches. And so, but I was like, I don't know anything about Presbyterianism, but I like her, so I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go over there. And so I'm like, I can learn. I'm a fast learner, yeah. So I did. And something funny happened, right, as I was trying to learn. God moved in my heart and my mind and showed me who he was, and he was a lot bigger than I ever thought and I ever knew. And I was like, why didn't anybody, you know, taught me this before? And I really hadn't been the same person since then. And so that was in 2000-ish. You guys have got a cute baby.
Thank you. Sorry.
Oh my gosh.
I like this lady. This lady's nice. It's got a nice smile.
Well, bring her up here so everybody can see her. And like I said, I was in a PCA church. So since then, I was a PCA church since like 2000, 2015. That church kind of folded. We moved to Bernie. We're like, we found our church. We're moving. So we moved. We found a church first, and then we moved. And that's kind of my faith story in a nutshell. Where are you guys from? All over the place?
New Mexico.
New Mexico? Who's that? Yeah, cool. All right. What part?
Albuquerque. I grew up military, so I mean, that's where I was born. That's
yeah.
Not really home.
Yeah. Okay.
Home is more Arizona.
Okay. I forgot to say I'm originally from San Antonio, so just down the road, you know. Hop, skip, and a jump, you know? Geographically, we can just talk about geography. Where are you guys from? Yeah. That's safer, right? Yeah. Where are you guys from?
I'm from here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Bernie?
Yeah, born in San Antonio. I've been here forever.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, my parents are from Venezuela.
Okay.
So I was there for like a year when I was a baby. I don't remember anything.
Okay.
So they're cool. I've just been here. I guess with the church thing, I never really went to church
thing
at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was baptized Catholic,
mm-hmm.
but that's about it. I never went to church, like two times.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
Well, I was born on an Air Force base in England. I don't remember anything at all about England, not even a little bit. And then my first memories are in North Carolina on an Air Force base. Since I was little, my parents have always been to church, mostly non-denominational churches. And until I met Michelle, I never really understood what it was to be a Christian.
Yeah.
And so one day we just decided to come here. This is the first church that we came to, and since then I've started reading the Bible and reading the books that Kevin recommends to me, and it's been fun. I live in Northeast San Antonio, and I come out here twice a week to see her and to come here, and
good call.
It's good. I like it a lot.
Well, we're glad you found us. That's I love to hear that. That's awesome. Where are you guys from originally?
I'm from New York.
Okay.
Originally, grew up in the New York City. Grew up in the PCUSA Church. Came to faith at Tim Keller's Church.
Oh wow! Yeah.
And I'm an ordained elder as well.
Okay. Awesome. Very cool. Also from New York?
No, I grew up mostly in Ohio. So I moved to Ohio when I was first grade, and that's where I graduated high school. So, and I grew up in a non-denominational, but I would say Reformed Baptist kind of environment.
Yeah.
So.
Very cool. And you got to Texas as soon as you could, is that?
Well, I came in 2008 when the world was collapsing.
Oh, okay. Wow.
New York.
Yeah. Wow. Tough time. Where are you guys from?
So I grew up in Houston.
Okay.
And after college moved up to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for work. Met my wife up there. She's from Buffalo, New York.
All right.
We lived there for like 7 years, and got married up there. And we actually, so she grew up Catholic, actually pretty devout Catholic. Went to Catholic school and mass every week. I grew up Baptist, and we went to some non-denominational churches, some charismatic churches. And so when we met, we neither of us were really going to church. You know, I was baptized young. She was baptized as a baby. And so we were getting, you know, engaged and wanted to find a kind of growing our faith together. And we actually got married in a PCUSA church. We weren't members of the PCUSA church, but thought it was a pretty church and didn't really know where else to go. And so that kind of planted the seed, I guess, of, you know, getting us back in our faith a little bit. And then we've been growing the last few years and trying to find the right home. We've been over at Hillside Fellowship over off 281. And, you know, the more I, you know, kind of have grown in my faith, it's drawn me to the kind of Reformed side of things. And so I didn't know the first thing about Presbyterians from Methodists, from anything. And,
yeah.
You know, we found the PCA and loved it.
That's great. That's great. I'm glad you found us.
Well, I was born in Texas,
but okay.
Son of a Navy pilot, so he grew up on Air Force bases, and I stayed in garden spots like Jacksonville when my father was deployed someplace else. Always jealous of the Army and Navy kids who actually got to live places. But anyway, I grew up around the countryside. Marcy, born in Indianapolis, but she's a naturalized resident, grew up in Dallas.
Okay.
And
he always has to say that.
But she's okay because
the difference between native and naturalized, it's okay.
I married him almost 42 years ago, and I thought I was going to stay in Texas my whole life, but as soon as I married him,
yeah,
well,
that was not the case.
We hung out for a while,
yeah,
but then
you have to sell the idea.
Chicago, Connecticut, London, and then we came home when he retired.
We were gone for about 27 years,
yep.
And then came home, lived outside of Dallas or Austin, in the house that we found was our forever house. But grandchildren changed the gravitational orientation of one's life. So we moved down here at the end of October. We're building a house. And neither one of what you put Presbyterian.
The first church I ever went to was a Presbyterian church, but my dad got mad because they were giving money to Angela Davis. Do you remember her? So we left. We went to a Methodist church, and that's where I grew up. And then when I married Chet, he has a Baptist background. And so we ended up in non-denominational churches and then eventually Baptist. So
yeah,
this is our first experience with Reformed Presbyterian.
Great.
It's a comfortable fit.
Yeah.
Well, God's providence, I know there was a time in my life when maybe I was a little bit annoyed at my parents, like, why did they take us to all these churches? And yeah, I was a little bit annoyed about that. Then I took a step further back to see the bigger picture, and I realized, like, oh, you know, every one of those experiences in my life, to include my parents, you know, so here I was, being a rotten kid, blaming my parents for stuff, right? And I said, no, it's not, you know, it's not that, it's God. It's all of God. This is all of his tapestry. And all of these things work together to draw me closer to him, and I couldn't see that for, there was a time in my life when I couldn't see that. But I'm grateful for all those experiences now because they were formative in my life, and I see every one of those as being part of God's care, his providence for me today. And so I wouldn't, again, be where I'm at today, but for God's care and his drawing me to him and, you know, 2025 to this place. So praise God. But look around, you know, I don't know if this, we haven't really named numbered our classes, but there's been a few. And so, you know, hopefully you're getting to know each other, mm-hmm. Getting to know other folks in the church, making connections, begin to and make those investments, right, in your growth. And so that's going to be very much a part of the life of the church here is, you know, in community, right? We live out our faith in community. We're not alone. And so the sooner you can get connected, you know, make those connections, the better, and the, you know, the more nourished and supported you're going to be. And so my purpose in asking you those questions this morning, hopefully it was not to embarrass you, but just to get you to kind of take an interest in God's people, right? That we're diverse, we have neat experiences, and that makes us unique, but it also makes us, you know, who we are in Christ. And so pray that God would continue to work through our circumstances, as he certainly has in my life. He's been there every step of the way. It has only been a surprise to me, right, when stuff happens. But God knows, and he's there. We take great comfort in that, his goodness, and his providence. And hopefully you're hearing some encouraging things about, like I said, our church. And if you have questions that maybe... you know, there's a few more weeks, I think, to our intro classes, a few more weeks that we're going to hear from Kevin, and then maybe Al, I think. But yeah, so you're gonna get more information. So I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to let you chime in and share where you were from.
I've been in Texas for several generations. I actually grew up in the same little bitty town that Thaxter Price did, so small rural.
Okay.
So, we're in Houston for 40 years, but been here a couple of years.
Houston.
Was it Littlefield?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great. Where are y'all from?
We're from Junction.
Junction, okay.
Yeah.
Hop, skip, and a jump.
Yeah.
Your whole life?
No.
You ended up there, okay.
No, she started first grade in Junction.
Mm.
I was in Junction until I was about four, and then we moved, but came back in the sixth grade. And
okay.
So we both graduated in the same class. And we've been
married
for
four other guys. You and four other guys.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been married for 62 years.
Wow.
And
wow.
After we got married, I started going to the Church of Christ with her because that's what she grew up in. And I was a Methodist starting out, and it was funny, in the Methodist church, when I got old enough to be a member, like 16 or 17, I'd been christened as a baby, and that was good enough for them.
Yeah.
So after I went to the Church of Christ for a few years, I was baptized, and I've been a member of the Church of Christ more than 50 years.
Mm. Wow. I'm glad you found us.
Well, we, the Church of Christ in Burney wasn't what we were used to, and so we started looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this is a great community, and I'm not just saying that because I'm here. It really is, guys. God's people care for God's people. Like I said,
I'm very impressed with the emphasis on living according to the church as it was established. That's very important to me.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, another way to think about Presbyterianism or Reformed faith is, you know, it's biblical Christianity. You know,
and a Church of Christ is quite similar,
mm-hmm.
but with a few different interpretations.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Marcy, I've become kind of fond of Indiana recently. We have a friend that moved over there recently, and so we visit her a few times. And it's a neat little place. I like it. It's like French Lick, you know, Nashville, Columbus. Wow. It's cool. Some neat places there. It's a little flat, but, it's got some character. I love it. A lot of history, a lot of buildings. Early 1800s, like, wow. But that's all I have for you this morning. Like I said, if you have any other questions, let us know. We'd be glad to meet with you and talk about any questions you have before you decide if you want to join. If you wanted to join, we hope that you would. Let me pray for us. Holy Father, we're so thankful to hear of all that you're doing in the life of your people. We pray that as they attend this class, that they would be encouraged about how you are working here amongst us and how you are building your church. And so I pray that you would give us a vision for that together, that we would join as one body with one Lord, one hope to do the work that you called us to do as your followers. Bless our morning. I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to your word that's going to be preached. We pray that that would transform us, that we would hear the encouragement, the exhortation that we need, and that we would have ears for that, Lord. And so I pray that that would carry us this week, and that as we have opportunity, we would even share that with those that don't know that hope that you've given us in Jesus. So we pray all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Very delighted to meet all of y'all this morning.
You have to travel.